Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I will do it also this week. I will remind you that if you ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. And whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. And whenever you write, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get started into our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today thanking you for just the airwaves, for the opportunity to be able to broadcast on the radio. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings that we have in life, the freedoms that we enjoy here to be able to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Father, today I pray your blessing on the message as we continue our study through the book of Revelation. Might it be to your honor and to your glory. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible before you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Today in our study, we have come to the closing verses of chapter 14. In the verses that are before us, we're going to find the fulfillment. We will find their fulfillment at the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ returns in all of his glory. The event that we're going to look at today, the event before us, will be the culmination of the wrath of God before Jesus establishes his kingdom. The event that will be described in the verses before us today will be like nothing the world has ever witnessed before. The event is Armageddon. We've all heard of it. We've heard people talk about it. It's the final purging of the earth before the kingdom of Jesus Christ is set up and established. Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the demons will be conquered and bound. Armageddon is spoken of by many people today, but there are few that understand what really is going to take place. I want to start today by looking at the background on Armageddon, if I could. The question I want to raise, first of all, is what is Armageddon? Because a lot of people don't understand. So let me just stay with me, and I want you to listen to this. Armageddon is not a single battle. It's not one single battle. It's a military campaign that will involve several battles. Armageddon will be the climactic war that will take place at the end of the tribulation period. The campaign of Armageddon will be spread over about 20,000 square miles. It will compass the entire land of Israel from Megiddo in the north to Edom and Bozrah in the south. It will span 200 miles from north to south and 100 miles from east to west. The battle will be the most intense in three specific areas. In number one, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Number two, the Plain of Esterlon, also known as the Valley of Jezreel. In the third place, Bozrah or Edom. This is very near to Petra. So the question is, why are the armies of the earth gathered together in these areas? It seems to be because this is Satan's last attempt to destroy the Jews to stop the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. That's why. That's why these are the hot spots of the battle. Because it will be Satan's attempt to destroy the Jews. Because you remember what we've talked about before. Satan wants nothing more than to destroy the nation of Israel. That way he got, because he knows the promise of Christ's return and the promise of the kingdom is made to the nation of Israel. And so therefore, if he destroys Israel, he believes that Jesus will not come back. And so he will be able to rule the world forever. And he will rule and reign over the world. That's his desire. That would be a catastrophe without a doubt if that took place. But that will not happen. But anyhow, getting back to this, that's why we're going to see the heated battle in those areas. Second thing I want to talk about is seven key phrases of Armageddon. I'm going to borrow these from Mark Hitchcock because I believe they will help us to better understand the campaign. There are seven of them. I want you to listen to these. Number one, the Euphrates River dries up to prepare the way of the kings of the east. That's going to happen. Revelation 16:12 says, "And a sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So that's in preparation for Armageddon. Number two, the Antichrist's allies assemble. Revelation 16:12-16. Listen to this. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So the Antichrist's allies are going to assemble in preparation for this battle. Number three, the armies attack Jerusalem and it falls. Zechariah 14:1-3 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth unto captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought as in the day of battle." So at this time, Jerusalem is going to be attacked and it's going to fall. Number four, Jesus Christ is going to return to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14:4. "And then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." So in the middle of all of this, Jesus Christ is going to return to the Mount of Olives, and his feet are going to touch down on the mountain, and the mountain is going to split. Number five, Jesus and his armies destroy the armies gathered against Jerusalem in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Joel chapter 3, 9 through 17. Listen to these verses. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. That's the battle at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It will be a slaughter in that day. Point number six, Jesus descends upon Bozrah and Edom in modern Jordan to destroy the inhabitants and to deliver the Jewish remnant. That's seen in Isaiah 63:1-5. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. So that's when Jesus descends on Bozrah and Edom in modern Jordan to destroy the inhabitants and to deliver the Jewish remnant. Then number seven, the last one, the armies of Armageddon are destroyed. Revelation 19:19-21 says, And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the 7 points of the campaign of Armageddon. It brings me to our text today, getting to Revelation chapter 14. First thing that I want to look at, the first point that I want us to consider is the reaper. Watch 14:14, if you would, of Revelation. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. The one sitting on the cloud here is Jesus Christ. He has on his head a crown, and this is a victor's crown. You see, he's coming back at the end of the tribulation to conquer and to defeat all of his enemies. When Jesus came the first time, he came as a sower. But when he returns at the end of the great tribulation, he will come as a reaper. Luke 19:10 says this, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation, he will come to destroy all who are his enemies. Here in our text, he sits on a white cloud, which pictures Jesus in his glory. He has in his hand a sharp sickle, ready to thrust it into the earth. This event will mark the end of the long suffering of God at this time. His wrath has reached its pinnacle at this time. The opportunities for salvation for the unsaved are over. They have reached their end. There are no more opportunities. There are no more proclamations of the gospel. It's over. Those that have rejected him have sealed their destiny. Isaiah 63:3-4 say this, I've trodden the winepress alone and the people, and of the people there was none with me, for I tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. When these people get this far, it's over. It's over. They will face the undiluted wrath of God. Let me get you to the wine press, or to the ripeness, if I could. See the reaper in verse 14, we see the ripeness in verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. The harvest of the earth is ripe. This means that it's rotting or past the point of usefulness. This speaks of the sinful condition of the world at the end of the tribulation. The world's population will begin a downward spiral into spiritual darkness from the day of rapture, from the day of the rapture forward. It will start in that downward spiritual spiral. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 and 7 say this, And now you know what withholdeth, that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. In other words, what Paul's saying here is this, that there is a person that is holding back the forces of evil, and that person is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to release those forces whenever the rapture takes place. When we as the church are raptured away, we the salt of the earth and the light of the world, when that rapture happens, we will be gone and the restraints will be lifted off the demonic world. And so the world's population will begin a downward spiral into spiritual darkness that will culminate in this day. The battle of Armageddon, the campaign of Armageddon. Listen to Revelation 9, 20 and 21. It says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. See where they're at? And all these judgments, in the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, and here are these people that refuse to repent. They repented not of the works of their hands, nor should that they should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood. They repented not of their murders, nor their sorceries. That word is the word we get our word pharmacy from, maybe drug use, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In the tribulation, they continue on. They continue on in their sin. They continue to live in their sin, and the judgments have no effect because they are in this downward spiritual spiral. Let me just stop for a moment. Let me say this to you. Let me give you something to think about. If you're not saved and you've heard the gospel and you know you need to be saved, but you say, well, right now is not the right time. And so what you do, you reject, and every time you reject, you harden your heart a little bit more, harder and harder and harder, until it gets to the point where your heart is so hard that not only will you not accept Christ, but you cannot accept Christ. That's a frightening thought. That's a zone that you don't want to get into, a place where you cannot exercise your faith in Christ. Many have entered into that zone. Many will in the tribulation period. Let me get you back to the text. So we see the reaping, we see the ripeness, now we see the ripeness, now we see the reaping. Watch 14:16. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. This is what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 13:27-30. It says, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. John's going to describe another vision. We'll see reaper number two. Watch 17 and 18 of Revelation 14. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle, another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The second angel which comes out here comes from the altar. That's an interesting thought. In Revelation 6:9-11, I want you to listen to these verses. This was in the seal judgments. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. We talked about that back in Revelation 6. That's the persecution that comes upon the face of the earth in the tribulation period. And that persecution will be great. But listen to how they cry. Those that are killed for their faith, it says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. These saints that are killed here in Revelation 6 prayed for the vengeance of God upon the world. Verse 10 again, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, let me read something for you from Revelation chapter 8, 3 through 5, before the trumpet judgments begin to sound. It says, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should suffer, or that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it in the earth. And there were voices and thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Listen to verse 3 of Revelation 8 again. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it, listen, with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. This angel comes out to be sure the prayers of the saints who cry for vengeance are answered. These two visions are two different pictures of the same event. Listen, let me read verse 17 of Revelation 14 again. It says, and another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and then cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So this is the same angel being sure that the prayers of the saints are answered as they pray for God to unleash his vengeance upon a sinful world. Watch verses 19 and 20. And the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is the final battle before the kingdom is established. It'll be far worse, as I said before, it'll be far worse than anything the world has ever seen. The blood from the battle will run approximately 4.5 feet deep and 200 miles long. Let me give you some stats to consider. There are 6 quarts of blood within a man. To run a river 200 miles long, 4.5 feet deep, and only 20 yards wide, it would take a billion people. It would take a billion people. Now, we can also figure in there the blood of the horses and the bodies that will cause the blood to rise. But from this, we get a picture of the carnage that's going to unfold in that final battle. To have a river of blood 200 miles long, 4.5 feet deep, that is going to flow from this battle. That's the carnage. Listen to Revelation 19, 17 through 21. And I saw an angel stand in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake a fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. Terrible, devastating event. Beyond anything that our minds can even begin to comprehend. The final battle of Armageddon. A river of blood, 4.5 feet deep, 200 miles long. People facing the undiluted wrath of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Because if you don't, and the rapture happens, you're going into the tribulation period. And if you survive through the judgments, you will be in that battle. Hebrews 10:31 says this, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm going to tell you this. You don't want to die in your sins. You don't want to be left behind for the tribulation period. You don't want to face Jesus Christ in the battle of Armageddon. You won't stand a chance. You won't stand a chance. You need to put your faith in Christ. God loves you. He made a way for you to be forgiven. That's through the death of his son, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. And that blood was the payment for your sin debt. Because you had a sin debt. You had a debt that you could not pay. Jesus died to pay that sin debt so that you could be forgiven. And now, if you will put your faith in the finished work of Christ, he will forgive you. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need Jesus Christ. I'm out of time today. I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church. Might you have a blessed day.